As we do on Wednesday and Friday, fleshing out the hour with some conference news and always trying to bring it back to when we can the Bulls. We'll do that in the Men's Tennis Player of the Week honorees in a second. Also, I guess Houston falling in the men's basketball semifinals to Baylor by a 19-point margin doesn't quite look so bad after what Baylor did to Gonzaga in the national championship game on Monday night, huh? Yeah, I had a shut that one off at halftime because you could just see it wasn't going to go any other way but the way it did. As promised, the specific outlook, and yes, there will be math involved when it comes to women's soccer conference tournament and how it's shaping up. It will be at Corbett Soccer Stadium next week. What happened on Tuesday, significant on the men's side of things, and of course, how it impacts the Bulls. But mention Gabriel DeCamps, great player, named the American Athletic Conference Men's Tennis Player of the Week for a fifth time this year. He's ranked fourth in the country. And UCF, and I get it, hey, listen, they've got the best team in the conference and a great role they're on, put out how he is unstoppable. Actually, he did get stopped by Kuba Wojcik, and that should be really pointed out as it was a 13-match singles winning streak, which is fantastic because of the competition that UCF is playing. A little strange to see the wording on the UCF website saying that he was forced to retire against USF. Didn't mention the player's name who ended his streak. It's Kuba Wojcik, by the way, in case UCF didn't realize it. He wasn't forced to retire. The Knights had clinched the match, and to their credit, of course, there were three singles matches still going on. The other two finished up. There was no one getting forced to call off their match, but DeCamps, who coincidentally lost his first set to Wojcik in a tiebreaker, decided himself that he is going to call the match off. Either way, definitely got some big wins, got the clincher for UCF against 14th-ranked Wake Forest, but in announcing who the Men's Tennis Player of the Week is in the conference, the Bulls definitely get some big-time love there, from me anyway. And if you haven't heard me mention this before, the American actually does not recognize in-season play. The conference standings are irrelevant. It all goes to the ITA and where you are ranked as a team, and that's how the conference tournament will be set up. So that is going to be some conference tournament. You've got eight teams. UCF certainly looks like it's good for an at-large bid. It will be the host of the thing. But everybody in the league is above 500. Temple's finally gotten some matches in lately. The Owls are 8-1, not nearly as stiff a competition as others are facing. Wichita's 14-5, Tulane very good, as the Bulls saw losing to the Green Wave 11-5. In fact, the only team below 500 is SMU, 12-13, but against non-conference foes, they are 12-8, 0-5 in league play. Incidentally, Women's Tennis Player of the Week was SMU senior Claudia Bartolome. They got a big win against 50th-ranked TCU. In fact, this is kind of crazy. SMU ranked 48th, played 50th-ranked TCU, and 49th-ranked Tulsa from the conference, of course. And SMU beat them both. So UCF, again on the women's side, the highest-ranked team, followed by SMU, and then Tulsa. And Bartolome is actually their number 5 singles player, but she had the big win against Tulsa as she was down 4-1 in the third set. SMU 14-1 on its home courts this year. The difference, the change to the baseball schedule was on display on Tuesday night, which is normally a big one for midweek games. It has been all year long. But again, baseball, not going to have that the rest of the way now that we're into conference play, with teams now playing 4 on the weekend instead of just 3. That is going to be a concentration on the weekend, of course, saving up your pitching and wanting everybody available for these key baseball series, the ones that we'll preview for you on Friday's show. But again, East Carolina, the only team to come away from weekend one perfectly at 4-0. Also, Wichita State, 3-1, went to Houston, now gets to host the Cougars this weekend. East Carolina will host Memphis. UCF will go to Cincinnati, and of course the Bulls will host Tulane. There's still going to be softball midweek action from time to time. In fact, you know about the Bulls playing the doubleheader in Gainesville today. How about Wichita State? Right now tied with USF atop the conference and stepping out of league play to go up against the best team in the country, Oklahoma. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one tonight while we're on the air, as we will Houston hosting Louisiana, another pretty strong team. East Carolina, which did not have a conference matchup last week, is at NC Wilmington. And check this out, on Tuesday, Memphis, which is 0-8 in league play, fell to the Bulls in 4 games and then dropped as many to Wichita last weekend. They step out of conference against, get this, Memphis comes in 6-24. They go to Tennessee Martin, which is 19-9, and Memphis wins, and wins easily, 6-2. Actually, it was a one-all game until the top of the fifth inning when Memphis got it going. Lania Bates single, Alyssa Dean with a double, and then the big hit by Kendall Lee driving in a run. Megan Chisholm would add an RBI run as well, and Delaney Smith capped off that big inning for the Memphis Tigers. Shows you that the conference is pretty strong, doesn't it? All right, here comes the math part. I said get ready for some, as it's going to have to be the route that the league goes when it comes to women's soccer. And it's basically because of one program having major issues this year with COVID, that being SMU. And it's a shame for the Mustangs, because they certainly could have contended for a spot in the field of four for the American Athletic Conference tournament. Again, the Bulls beating Memphis last week clinched the number one seed regardless of what happens this week, although what happens this week will be important for the participants more on the other side. USF is at Cincinnati at Sunday afternoon, and Memphis is hosting East Carolina. USF and Memphis are already locked in to the top two seeds. There are only three other teams still in the running for spots 3 and 4. Right now, East Carolina is in third place, followed by Cincinnati, followed by UCF. Now, if you look at the standings, it appears as though Houston could still catch up to that fourth spot with Cincinnati. Unfortunately for the Cougars, they were actually eliminated with the news that today's scheduled game against SMU would be canceled. Of course, they're not alone. Only two teams played, SMU. But with that cancellation, Houston basically misses out on a chance at 3 points. And since things are quirky and not everyone played their full schedule, rather than that point total you see next to USF's name, which is 18, you get 3 points for a win and one for a tie, and the Bulls are a perfect 6-0, hence 18 points. The real number that's going to matter for seedings purposes is points per game. So the Bulls, for example, right now are on 3. If Houston had been able to play SMU and ostensibly beat the Mustangs, then they would have gotten a full 3 points, which would have boosted their points per game. But now the most they can get is basically even with fourth place Cincinnati, and they lost to Cincinnati head-to-head. So even if Houston beats UCF this Sunday in Orlando, Houston will not make the conference tournament. It would be East Carolina and Cincinnati instead. So it's going to come down to the results of the games this weekend, determining which two of those three teams are going to make the conference tournament. Now, I've actually done the math on what these three teams' points per game would be if they win, tie, and lose. We'll share those with you on Friday, but just so you know what the teams have to do. If you're wondering, UCF has to win and then either have Memphis beat East Carolina, which is certainly not out of the question, or USF at least ties Cincinnati. Why a tie? Because it would basically have UCF and Cincinnati tied with each other, and the Knights beat the Bearcats earlier this year. Head-to-head is actually the first tiebreaker. East Carolina has the best options as far as different things that can happen, but they have a tough opponent. So if they tie Memphis, they're in, or they're still in if USF beats Cincinnati, because they'd finish ahead of them. Or if that doesn't happen, Houston just needs to hook them up with at least a tie against the Knights. And Cincinnati probably has the toughest road because, yeah, they're in with the win, but they're playing the Bulls. Failing that, they would need either a Houston hookup with some sort of result in Orlando, or if UCF wins, and you'd have to assume the Knights would, Cincinnati would still get in if they can tie the Bulls and have Memphis win. Did you get all that? Quiz later. On the men's side, the Bulls are now in fifth place, and only four teams make the conference tournament. Temple jumped over the Bulls thanks to its win in Memphis on Tuesday afternoon. The Tigers, of course, put the Bulls in dire straits by beating them at Corbett on Friday night. Almost pulled off a similar comeback at home in this one. Memphis had to win to extend its season and fell behind early, and then fell behind a man on the field because one of their great players, German Sanga, got his second yellow card. And yet Memphis actually tied the match after that. Less than 2 minutes later, Temple was back on top, and that's how it looked like it was going to end. Until in the final minutes of regulation, a handball in the penalty box gave Memphis a penalty kick, and with 1:03 left, it converted. So there was hope there. If Memphis could have just kept it tied, then the Bulls basically would be in a non-must-win situation. But Temple got the winning goal just before the end of the first overtime from Amir Cohen on a loose ball in the box. So Temple with the win jumps ahead of the Bulls. What does that mean? It means that it will either be Temple or USF for the last spot in the conference tournament. Three spots are now clinched, SMU took care of the third by beating Tulsa convincingly on Tuesday at home, 3-0. Tulsa's still in because mathematically it's ahead of the Bulls, can't be caught. UCF is very much in charge for the second year in a row of hosting the conference tournament because it's in first place. Tulsa would have jumped back over the Knights, didn't do it obviously, so it's UCF 18 points. No decimal points involved here, by the way, since everybody played a full schedule. Tulsa's in second with 16 points, then SMU with 15, Temple at 13, USF at 12. Basically, and we'll lay it out even more on Friday's show since these games are all Friday night, UCF is in control for the top spot, playing at now-eliminated Memphis. Tulsa hosting the Bulls, SMU hosting Temple. So the Bulls not only need to beat Tulsa, but they also need for Temple not to beat SMU. Now, you feel pretty decent about the chances of that part of it, but point is they technically need help, and most importantly, now must help themselves. Yes, they could finish in a fourth-place tie with Temple, but, and I'm working to get confirmation on this, since the teams split with each other, head-to-head would not come into effect, but goal difference would definitely favor Temple, and from my understanding, goal differential is the next tiebreaker. I'll let you know if I'm wrong, but right now it looks like the Bulls have to beat Tulsa and get just a little help from SMU, which again will be hosting Temple. Had Memphis kept that game tied, then the Owls would actually still be behind the Bulls, and therefore USF would not have had to have beaten Tulsa. In fact, they could have conceivably lost to Tulsa, and had SMU beat Temple, Bulls would have still gotten in, but guess what? I don't think you want to get into the conference tournament on a four-game losing streak, so basically the postseason begins Friday night for the USF men's soccer team, in that they've got to start winning from here on out to keep their season going. That'll do it for your Wednesday version of Around the American. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.